Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Knicks Mailbag. This is episode 33 of the Mailbag. I am hosting today because Jeremy has decided to be a slacker and go on vacation. But I am Shwinny Poo, you know me. I am joined by a very, very special co-host. We're rolling back the clock. It's like an OG mailbag. I'm on with Drew at Scooter Toots. Drew, what's going on?
What up? I like that the roles are reversed. It's like we've been in like a marriage for so long, and now we're like mixing it up a little bit to get a little spiciness to the life. So it's like you're hosting now, and it's like, ooh, look at that.
Yeah, it's like role playing, you know.
Yeah,
gotta keep the, you know, gotta keep everybody stimulated.
Yeah, you gotta keep that spark alive, man.
Exactly. But we had the Knicks played a preseason game today. We're not going to talk about that, mostly because Drew didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah, and second, because we're going to answer your questions. So yeah, that's what we're going to do. But before we answer your questions, I'm going to be a good employee of Strickland, and I'm going to inform you that the Strickland has a Patreon now. You can find it at patreon.com/TheStrickland, or on our homepage at thestrick.land. The Pod Strickland on Monday is still going to be free. Draft Strickland is still free. Alex, Zach, and Matt's mail.bag will still be free. We probably will add another free podcast to the lineup at some point. Those plans are still in the works. But what is changing? Pod Strickland on Friday, the one with me and Prez, and this mailbag, which typically would be with Jeremy and myself, but because Jeremy is slacking, I had to call in reinforcements and get Drew in. But this mailbag will also be on the Patreon. You can get that if you subscribe to the $6 tier. If you subscribe to the $9 tier, you will get a solo pod that I'm doing, as well as exclusive weekly articles from Jack Huntley and Matthew Miranda. If you subscribe to that tier, I would do it more for their writing than my ranting. That would be my just suggestion. There's also other further tiers you can participate in: $15, $30, $50, $100 tiers. There's a variety of benefits, you know, merchandise discounts, sitting in on pod recordings, guest appearances on pods, even hosting a pod potentially. But either way, if you choose to help us out and subscribe to the Patreon or not, and just continue listening to the free content we do provide, we appreciate your patronage, and you know, appreciate all the support we've gotten for over a year now that we've been open. But that is enough of my, you know, just capitalistic greed at play there, begging for money. But let's get into the questions, sure is why you're here and I'm here. All right. Did you watch The Many Saints of Newark yet?
No, I did not, unfortunately. I'm still debating if I want to actually go to the movie theater and watch it, though.
All right. Well, okay, we can't answer the first part of this question, but we can answer the second part of the question. This is from at NY Critics. The first part of the question is, what did you think about The Many Saints of Newark? I'll answer that. I thought it was fine. It was not as good as the show, obviously, because the show is six seasons where you can develop so many more things in detail. And yeah, like, it's just, you're never going to match up a 2-hour movie with a, you know, a six season show, especially not at the level of what The Sopranos was. But I enjoyed it. I do think there were like things that were kind of underdeveloped storylines, but I'm not going to give anything away because you haven't seen it yet. So, it could have been better. I think it was enjoyable. I do think that they set it up to have more movies, and I would expect them to do that, because why the hell not? But along those lines, which TV show character from a classic would you like to see a spinoff, update, prequel on? Me, I'd love a spinoff drama based on Bubbles from The Wire, for example. So, Drew, what are you thinking?
Bubbles is a pretty good one. So the question is like, we're talking like the elite TV shows, or is it just like any TV show whatsoever?
I think it could be any TV show.
Okay. If I were to pick one, I would definitely like to do a Twin Peaks spinoff with Dr. Jacoby. Schwinn has no idea what I'm talking about for like the five Twin Peaks fans that are in this tier listening to it. No, it's, I would want the Dr. Jacoby radio show from Twin Peaks, The Return. It's the episode that he was in was just like absolutely insane. He turned into like this like crazy, like conspiracy theory nut job person. And I just want to watch like an entire radio program of that as like a season. That's what I came up with in the moment. What about you?
I don't know. If I had to really think about this, I don't think it would be somebody from The Wire, because I just don't know how you could do a spinoff of that. I do think the like Bubbles would probably be the one, but
yeah, Bubbles would be the one that makes the most sense, definitely.
Right. So that I wouldn't do. I think I would like to do like one of Mad Men, but like Pete Campbell, where like as at the end, he's like the one person that's like kind of fulfilled. But I would like to see what that next step in his career is. Where is he going to go? Because, he gets his kind of family back. Or what would also be a great one would be Chloe from 24.
Oh, my God. Yes. Chloe's Chloe's plotline when she, like, goes into, like, that, what type of group was she in? Right? Because remember, like, when they had the seat, like, the crazy.
Wasn't like it was a nature thing, right? It was like an environmental.
It's like an environmental terrorist group. Because I don't know how many 24 fans we actually have, because we're obsessed with it. Because it's the craziest show to like really ever exist. So I don't know who has the 24. But remember, 24
it, like literally done. Only existed because of 9/11.
Yes,
like that's the only reason that show existed, and the only reason it got away with like Jack, like he just gonna kill 700 people, but it's fine because he's protecting America, the only person that can do it.
I think if you want to understand what life was like, like in the 9/11 years, especially for like the younger generation who could be listening to this, like watch 24 and you're gonna be like, this is what everyone like was for. And it's like, yeah, like Jack Bauer beheads someone in the second season.
Like, yep. Second
season. If we're talking about beheadings, and it's wild. But yeah, Chloe's spinoff as the terrorist group for like that year and a half that 24 was on TV would be fantastic. Or just redo 24 just through like Tony's eyes, Tony's perspective on all of this.
Well, also like Tony, just his arc makes absolutely no sense. He's like. It literally makes no sense. All right, but let's get into Knicks questions, because I think, look, the season is at hand. We have to talk about the Knicks.
We have to.
Jake did send in another question, which is basketball related. And again, this is Jake Andrews at NY Critics. He asked, basketball question, are there any signs you want to see from Tibbs out of the gate? Conversely, is there anything you're on the lookout for as far as red flags this early in the year?
So this is really interesting because like I'm so high on the team because like they're pretty much like 11 deep. So it's like what issues could really be, because like last year there was one glaring issue, right? It's like stop playing Elfrid Payton. But like that was the only glaring issue, because now it would be like I don't even know what it would be for like an issue for things. Like I can't think of it. But what I just want to see, I'm hoping to see more of like him not going crazy with the minutes, like maybe just a smidge since this team is so deep. But then again, this could be, we may see like players make it like days off instead of like minutes off. So we'll see how they do the rest schedule. It's still easy, but I would like to see something like tapping into the depth of this team. But I can't think of anything of a red flag for this year.
I don't think there's anything that I'd see as a red flag this early in the year, but one I'm definitely keeping my eye on is a willingness to play smaller at times. That's like one I really think that they need to develop. I understand Tibbs's concern of room protection, but I think you need to have that kind of, you need to have that pivot in your toolbox. Because we saw, obviously, in the Atlanta series, do I think it would, I don't think it would have, it was going to change the ultimate outcome of that series. We were going to lose. Mm-hmm. But it clearly was an adjustment that maybe we could have won another game with, or, you know, just at least situationally would have kept games closer. I thought it was pretty, I thought it was like genuinely annoying that he didn't even try it at that point. And I especially found it annoying because one of the Brooklyn games, we made a huge run back into the game because in the second half, we basically just played Randall at the five and switched everything. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously that doesn't work against every opponent, but that's the point is like, you don't need it to work against every opponent. It's just something that you have if you need to go to it. So as far as like a long-term red flag, that's really the main one to me. Other than that, I'm not that concerned about everything. Like, I guess I would also want to see just kind of like more flow to the offense and less dependence on ISOs for Julius and clear outs for Julius. But like, I mean, I know you didn't watch it, but I mean, I just think naturally with the talent they have now with Kemba and Fournier, you're not going to, you just won't see it as much. So I'm not too worried about that. Are there any signs I'd want to see from Tibbs out of the gate? I mean, not especially. Like, I kind of know what to expect from him. So I'm not surprised that he barely played Deuce and Grimes today or Knox until like the last 5 minutes of the game, even though it was a blowout. I'm not surprised he played the starters a bunch of minutes. Like, it's annoying because I mean, it's not even annoying. Like, I just would have rather not played Julius, Rose, or Kemba in the second half. But I do understand that, like, you can see that those, I mean, we scored with ease, but you could still see that a lot of it was like, we just have a lot of talent and it wasn't necessarily flowing together and fitting together perfectly and smoothly. So I kind of get why he chose to do that. So, you know, I don't know. I there aren't any signs I'd really want to see from him that I kind of are like, I feel like I know what to expect from Tibbs. So mm-hmm. It's just very hard for me to think of something that I'd want to see other than what I mentioned about a willingness to experiment with small ball lineups, Obi and Randall together, Randall at the five, whatever. Yeah, we can move on to our next question, which this comes from @FatManTomb.
That's a great,
it's a good one. Players you're most looking forward to hating this year, no Nets allowed.
That's rough because they have two of the perfect, like, very hateable players on that.
Three.
I don't really hate Kevin Durant that much.
I do.
I don't hate him that much. It's mainly James Harden. I just fucking can't stand James Harden. But no, we can't do Nets players. It has to be now, for agenda purposes, Kyle Lowry, right? Like, I want Kyle Lowry to be my number one target this season for agenda purposes. He decided to sign with the Heat instead of the Knicks. And now I have to say that he's fat and not and going to be bad. Like, that's for the agenda purposes. Like, it hurt. Like, I was genuinely hurt that he chose the Heat over the Knicks because the Knicks are the better team. And he chose the Heat. And it's just, like, it's crushing. So it's Kyle Lowry for me. And it pains me to say it because I love him.
I have a few.
Well, yours is going to be Ben Simmons, of course.
Well, that's not like a new thing, so yeah, I won't say that. Bradley Beal will be one.
Oh, Bradley Beal's a good one. Yes, he's done. We're done with him.
Yeah, he's annoying. I obviously his anti-vax or not even anti-vax is weird. Like, well, you don't know. Oh, his whole entire stance about it is bullshit.
Yeah, no, it's the stupidest thing. It's not even an anti-vax thing. It's just dumb. It's just like
it's stupid. I'm going to enjoy that, but I'm also going to enjoy it because I feel like he does, like, I don't think Bradley Beal gives a fuck about winning. I think Bradley Beal gives a fuck about pretend. He wants people to see him on the sideline when they're down 50 fucking points, like, oh I'm so sad. This is, like, yeah, like, really
what was
me.
I supposed to do?
Yeah, like, oh my God, this is so hard. He wants all that shit. He wants the sympathy. He wants us to fucking, he wants people on Twitter to tweet out, you know, free Brad Beal, fucking free him. He needs help, blah, blah, blah. He just wants that shit. He wants sympathy. He doesn't give a fuck about winning. Because if he gave a fuck about winning, he wouldn't have signed that fucking extension he signed with the Wizards to stay for another year.
He also would have demanded a trade by now.
Yeah, and I mean, no, I mean, maybe he wouldn't have. Maybe, but he extended his contract with the Wizards so that he could hit free agency after he hit 10 years of service, which opens up the 35% max, which is the biggest max you can get. That was done for only one purpose, for money. I don't begrudge him that. I don't begrudge him that. But
yeah, it's a lot of
then
money.
I don't want to see all this shit about, like, it's hard, like, I just want to win. Like, fuck you. Shut up. He said some bullshit today. He wants to win. His goals for the year are first team all defense and MVP.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, how about you just, like, don't suck ass on defense? How about that? You know, like, let's start there, and then we'll get to, like, second team all defense, and then maybe we can, like don't, just be in consideration for second team all defense would be a major step up for him. So I'm not even going to touch MVP, which is absurd for a player like him. He's not going to be an MVP. He should never be an MVP.
He's not going to make any of the voting anyway.
No, he doesn't matter. I think what he wants is he wants to be the guy in Washington. He wants to get his money, and he wants to the pretense of caring about winning and wanting to compete and all this shit. I don't think he cares. I don't know. I think he wants to just be happy where he is, and that's fine. Like, people can be happy. We don't need to win championships to be happy in your life. That's true. That's a great thing. But the pretense of it is what's bullshit. And just the pretense of, like, how painful this entire endeavor is for him. And it's just, shut up. Like, fuck him. So that's one guy I'm looking forward to hating. I would say another guy I'm looking forward to hating. I'm trying to think. There's a few.
There's Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, I mean, I already have despised him, so it's not. I'll say Jalen Green. The rookie in Houston, he just fucking annoys me.
I think all the Houston, you could pick the entire Houston thing because, like, there's just a segment of, like, NBA Twitter right now. They drafted the four players, and it's like, that's not that smart, actually, but okay. And then, like, that would be great to just hate on that.
I just really don't want to hear about how the second overall pick in the draft feels disrespected and has a chip on his shoulder. I mean, like, okay, cool. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You got drafted second overall. I don't want to hear about the chip on your shoulder. I don't want to hear how you feel disrespected. He also, like, has had this weird thing with Detroit where he just shits on them. And it's like, dude, if you're shitting on Detroit, why the fuck are you, like, you're upset that you didn't get picked by them now? Like, figure it out. Tell me what you, like, figure out what you want to be mad about. I don't know. He annoys me. That team annoys me. That organization annoys me. So that'd be the other one. And, yeah, I don't know. I guess I could leave it there. But those two, the Beal one, really, for sure. That's one I'm pretty excited about. All right, moving on to our next question. This one is from Patrick Claus. That's at Claus_Patrick. What is a realistic increase in the minutes per game for Obi this season? Or will he even see an increase? He averaged 11 last year. Personally, I'd love to see him get above 16 per game, but I'm just not sure that Tibbs will do that given his hesitancy to play Obi and Randall together.
Yeah, I would agree that there's, like, we still need to see if that's going to happen, because I'm just thinking, like, minutes-wise, like, Randall's probably going to play, like, 35 to 36 minutes, something around that. So it only leaves, like, 12 to 13, just pure backup minutes between Obi and Randall. I mean, I would love for it to be up to, like, 16 to 18. And just to try to just see what a little bit of Randall-Obi, like, front court is. Because I think you're not going to have the rim protection, but you could theoretically switch everything. So it's like, it would be an interesting look just to bump it up. And then plus you would have Obi in his better, like, natural, like, offensive five position where he's running to the rim and doing all that. Like, I would like to see it. I don't know if Tibbs is going to be that flexible because he really likes that big man that can do stuff. So, I don't know. I'm hoping it's 16, but I'm kind of leaning towards it's going to be like 12 to 13, like it was.
I think it'll be 16. I think he's going to play more. I think Obi, he looked a lot better tonight. He had a couple of dribble moves. I just think
good in summer league too. Like, you definitely saw that there was improvement. Like, he was working on shit. Like, you saw that he grew as a player.
Yeah, I do think that he's going to play more this year. I think Tibbs has been, he said, like, he looks better. He's a different player. I just can't see him. I don't think Julius is going to play 37 minutes per game again this year. I don't think he wants to. I don't think they need him to. That's the entire point.
They don't need him to. Like, he can play like 30 to 32 minutes this year, and the Knicks will more than likely be fine with like Obi taking like 18 to 20. Like, they have the depth to do it too. Like, they could even play Taj if they really wanted to, because Taj is always going to give you whatever Taj minutes are, right? Like, he'll play 10 minutes. He's going to give you a great 10 minutes. So they should.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I definitely think that they'll be okay without extending Julius. And yeah, I do think that Obi is going to get like 16 a game. I think that puts Julius 32. You figure maybe, you know, I know Julius has been quite the Iron Man in his career. Maybe he misses a couple games, so that won't open up a lot. But look, the big thing here too is if just Tibbs is willing to play Obi and Randle together, which obviously, you know, as Patrick mentioned, he's been hesitant to do that. He even explained why he was hesitant to do that this year when asked about it. But like, that's another one of those things, to go back to Jake's question, like red flags or whatever. I just, like, it's something I understand the risk of it, and I understand that might cost you maybe a game or two if you push it in the regular season. But like, I do think that it's something you need to experiment with and at least give a chance to, because you drafted him 8th overall. Like, do I think it's likely that he stays here and is a lifelong Nick? And no, I don't. Just because of Julius's emergence, like, the odds are stacked against him. But that's why you need to give it a chance, because you took the kid 8th. Julius is an all-NBA player. Like, it's worth seeing what that looks like. It's worth giving that reps. It's worth seeing what the potential is for that. And I think they should do it. And I think that's also a way to get Obi more minutes, which should be important to them, even if they ultimately think that, like, they're going to have to trade him down the line. I mean, it's hard to trade him if he doesn't have a lot of value, and you don't get value sitting on the bench and only playing 11 minutes a game. So he needs to play more. And, you know, of course, Tibbs isn't going to, like, play guys minutes just because that might up their trade value. I don't think that would work with him.
Isn't concerned with that.
Yeah, but I am optimistic about it purely because of how much he's gone out of his way to just kind of praise Obi's work ethic and mentality and stuff like that, unprompted. And, you know, he's genuinely seems to like him. So you would think that if that's the case, that he would get him some burn.
Okay, well, hope you enjoyed this preview. You can catch the rest of this at patreon.com/thestrickland, where we talked about how Quentin Grimes and Deuce McBride could break into the rotation this year, what would need to happen for that to take place, what are the conceivable paths that would allow the Knicks to get to the third seed in the Eastern Conference, and also, which are the most dysfunctional franchises in the NBA?